episode 2 of the SWB Crawler Cast. Tonight is Thursday, December the 3rd, and tonight I thought I'd give you guys a little bit of an update on my podcasting status, a little bit of the trials and tribulations of trying to start a podcast from the ground and, record it in a vehicle. It's been kind of an interesting trial and error process. First of all, today I spent quite a bit of time trying to get the CrawlerCast to list on iTunes, and that's proving to be somewhat difficult. I don't want to go into too many of the specifics because it's really a bunch of computer technical jargon that maybe you're not very interested in. I am happy to say that I think I found a better way to record the podcast with a little bit less background noise. Maybe you don't hear as much background noise as we have, or as we have in previous episodes, because today I'm using a microphone on a headset instead of using the speakerphone in my via my head unit. This is, you know, a headset that goes on one ear, so it's not blocking my hearing or anything while I'm driving, which is something I was concerned about with trying to use a headset. But it's got a nice microphone that's right next to my mouth, and it seems like it's cutting out a decent amount of the background noise from the tests that I've done. So, I'm still getting over that cold I mentioned in episode number 1, so I apologize if you hear any coughing fits or clearing of my throat or whatever. So I've been doing a little bit of work to the website as well, swbcrawler.com, trying to reorganize some of my articles and whatnot. Things have gotten to be a little bit of a mess over the years. SWB Crawler, I've been running for, heck, under that name maybe 10 years. Before that, I had it under a different name. I've been running a Jeep site for quite a while. Maybe 12 or 15 years. So, at any rate, I've accumulated quite a bit of both technical documents and just log entries and random pictures and whatnot, and trying to keep all that organized and in a presentable way really is difficult. And then, on top of that, trying to keep it in a format that's easy to manage via the web. I've been through quite a few iterations, from custom written websites to CMS style things. The site currently runs on top of Drupal, so if you're familiar with web frameworks and whatnot, that's mine of choice at the moment. Gives me a lot of flexibility. But all that just to say, I've been doing some work, so you may see some updates and some changes and some organizational differences on the website. Part of that was so that I could better host the podcast. I've never run a podcast before, as I mentioned earlier, and this is all kind of new to me. So, on to the main topic for tonight. It's coming up on Christmas time. And one of the things that I do through SWB Crawler and through Amazon is I sell paracord products. Primarily, I sell grab handles, the sort that you'd put on your roll cage and use to climb in and out of your Jeep, or, you know, to hold on to for your passengers to keep things stable. I just wanted to talk a little bit, maybe promote my product just a little during tonight's podcast, and maybe even give people some information about what paracord is and what it might be useful for other than just a stylish grab handle. So, paracord, or 550 cord as you might have heard it called, has its origins in the U.S. military. The name paracord comes from parachute cord. So this was cord specifically designed to be used in parachutes. It's meant to be resilient, it's meant to hold a lot of weight, and it's meant to be tangle-free, or not tangle-free, there's no such thing as a tangle-free rope, but it's meant to be tangle-resistant, put it that way. Working with this stuff, it's got a really smooth outer shell. The outer shell can be colored, so that's how you end up with all these various cool, you know, different color schemes with power cord accessories, and it can be woven really well. Basically, there's several different ways that you can tie it into different sorts of knots that you can create a strap out of it. And people have been using that to make paracord bracelets for a long time. And that's mainly because paracord is such a versatile rope. If you try to do some searching, if you look on Wikipedia, or even if you look at some of the interviews online with the guy who runs Survival Straps, he claims that he's the guy who invented the paracord craze. And I don't know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I can say that he's the first place I ever ran across that made these bracelets, and I bought a few from them. They're basically, you know, a bracelet that's designed with survival in mind. So it's not just a stylish bracelet. It's not just a comfortable bracelet. It's not just a bracelet that's a conversation starter. It's actually rope woven into a bracelet designed so that you can unravel the bracelet in the event of an emergency where you think you might need rope. So imagine that you're stranded somewhere and you want to build a shelter. You could unravel this thing and use it to lash sticks together. Imagine that you're out somewhere and you need to lower something or even yourself down over a cliff, or you need to drag something up over, you know, some sort of a ledge or whatever, or maybe even you just need to secure cargo in the back of your rig because, you know, you don't have a strap that'll hold it down, or, you know, whatever, anything that you might use rope for. Paracord is a really good, or a really nice rope to use for most situations. The 550 in the term 550 cord means that 550 paracord will hold 550 pounds. So I wouldn't recommend suspending a Jeep from it, but pretty much any human being I've ever run across is under 550 pounds. So it's great for rescue situations. It's great for trying to help somebody out, maybe even several trail fixes and whatnot that you could use paracord for. I wouldn't try to use it to tow a vehicle or to recover anybody, but it just isn't strong enough for that. There are other variations of paracord that are higher strength. I believe there's an 850. There's also, I think, a 220 or a 250. I forget off the top of my head, and I don't have it in front of me at this point. So, you know, the numbers in those obviously mean that they hold either 850 or two whatever pounds. Now, a few things to watch out for when purchasing paracord, if you were to purchase some for a survival situation, or even if you were purchasing a bracelet or even a grab handle from someone who may be trying to cut costs. There is paracord, or it may be labeled as paracord, but it's not official paracord, that instead of having the 550-pound strength, it's actually rated at much lower. I mean, I wouldn't even hold a backpack up with this stuff. In fact, to share a short story with you, I had some of it from, well, this was probably back in the late 90s when I was still young and a Boy Scout. I had a spool of this stuff that was purchased at some, you know, camping store or whatever, and it was listed as parachute cord. And we used it to haul a bear bag up in the air because we were camping in the wilderness and bears were a real problem. So we were trying to, lift our food supply in a watertight backpack. We were on a canoe trip up into a tree. And by the time we got the bear bag high enough that we thought it was safe, the rope broke and the bear bag fell to the ground and probably smashed some of our food or whatever. But that's a great example of paracord that probably shouldn't have been listed as paracord. I wouldn't want a parachute with a rope that couldn't hold, I don't know, 80 pounds of food in a bag. So, and what this comes down to is the construction of the paracord. If you take a good piece of paracord and you remove its outer sheath, you'll find several tiny strands that are about the thickness of dental floss, or maybe a really thick thread, like a sewing thread. And those are all nylon cords that are inside of an outer nylon sheath. The outer nylon sheath also holds a certain amount of weight. I don't have the specifics in front of me at the moment. But inside of it, you'll find between 5 and 7 strands, depending on who made your paracord and whatnot. Each of those strands will hold a certain amount of weight. The outer sheath will hold a certain amount of weight. And together, they'll hold 550 pounds. Now, that fine thread on the inside of your paracord is great for things like fishing or even sewing. You may even be able to stitch a wound with it in a real emergency. It's fine enough that you might be able to do those sort of things. And then the outer shell is great for things like, I don't know, replacing your shoelaces or holding up your pants if you lose your belt. There's a number of uses I've had for it. Some people, when they weave their paracord, they simply remove the inner cores from the paracord because it makes the outer sheath is then that much thinner, so you can get a much tighter weave out of it, and some people like the look a little better. Personally, I think that ruins the real versatility of the paracord, so I don't like to do things that way unless I absolutely need to. For example, I replaced some shoelaces in a pair of shoes once by removing the inner cores from a length of paracord, and then I just wove it through wove the outer sheath through the laces in my shoe, and it worked pretty darn well, I'd say. So when you're buying paracord, make sure that you have some concept of what you're buying. A lot of good paracord manufacturers, or even just the merchants that sell it, they'll show you a picture of the inner cores of their paracord on their website or whatever, so you really know what you're buying when you buy it. It's not just here, buy a spool or whatever of my paracord and trust me, it's 550. They'll actually show it to you so you know what the inner cores look like. And it, like I said, if it's stranded, the other stuff has sort of a cottony filler on the inside. And that's not what you want, at least not for a survival situation. That might be fine for holding the stakes on your tent or, other things that weak rope might be good for. Things that you might trust twine with, I would use that for. But not for a survival situation. I would not use that for anything that needs to hold any kind of weight. Just remember my story about the bear bag and then you'll know why. So, back to the whole concept of paracord grab handles. I went through all of that so that you'd have an idea of what goes into a good set of handles. Now, my handles, I use mostly mil-spec, that's military spec paracord, 550 cord. I buy it from a place called Camping Survival, and I believe the brand for my paracord is Rothco. I have found that it works really well. It comes in a decent assortment of colors. It seems to be high quality. I haven't had to hold 550 pounds with it yet, but I actually built a hardtop hoist for my 13 JK out of a stretch of or a length of Rothco paracord, and it held the hardtop up just fine. I used a nice pulley system to pick it up off the Jeep. And it did a pretty good job, so I trust it. I think it works well. I like the brand. That's why I use it. The outer sheath is also nice to work with. It feels nice and smooth. It ties well. It weaves well. I like it all around. I'm sure there's other brands of paracord that work just as well, but I'm sort of picky when it comes to things like this. When I find a brand that works, I just try to stick with it, so I know that the quality of one set of handles will match the quality of the next set of handles and all the other handles that I make. So that leads into how I make my handles. Now, if you go to swbcrawler.com/handles, you'll find a brief description of my handles, some links as to where you can buy them, of course, and a brief video that I made about how you can deploy one of my handles into rope if you need it. The reason I did that is because there's two main ways that I see people making these straps of paracord. There's bicolor, you know, the contrasting two-color straps, which are actually more popular than solid color straps like I make. Now, the reason I make them solid color is not because I don't like the dual color look. In fact, I do prefer that look, like most people do, because it gives you a nice accent. It's not just one solid color. In fact, I've made a number of paracord bracelets for myself that use two colors, but I'll explain why I felt okay doing that versus why I do not do that for my handles. So when you make a paracord, or a stretch of woven paracord, which in my handles, or most handles, there you'll end up with three separate stretches of paracord, the strap. There'll be two that go around the roll cage, and then there's one that actually makes up the handle itself, and that goes between the two that go around the roll cage. Now, if you build them the way I build them, that means you get, in my standard handles that don't have the overwrap, you end up with three solid pieces of rope if you were to unravel the paracord handles. Now, to me, that means that you've got three stronger pieces of rope because you have longer lengths of rope. So each length, so trying to remember the exact length here. I'm driving my TJ and I'm looking at my handle as I'm driving. That is just glancing at it on the roll cage. I'm not trying to handle it while I'm driving. The pieces that go around the roll cage, I want to say are, inches of paracord. So that's about 10 feet. So that's two 10-foot lengths right there. And then there's the handle that runs across, which is slightly longer, which is, I want to say that that's like 12 feet if you were to unravel it. Now, I could get better numbers and include them in the notes for the show. This is just off the top of my head. I don't measure them every single time that I create them. I have a nice method of stretching out the paracord without having to actually measure it to the inch every time. So at any rate, that's about how much you get out of a standard set of grab handles. Now, if you get it with the overwrap that my deluxe handles have, which means you basically get a standard handle, and then on top of the handle piece, which is the piece that's usually the accent color. So my handles are, I make the roll cage wrap black because most people have black roll bar padding, and I think it makes sense that the thing that goes around the roll bar matches the roll bar, so it's black. The handle itself, for the set that I've built in my Jeep, is like this silver color. The sets that I sell on Amazon, they're all camouflage because Amazon makes it difficult for me to specify separate colors. And I can go into that some other time. It's really not not pertinent to the show. Through swbcrawler.com, I'm actually working on building out a store there so I can sell directly from my own website. And on there, I'll be able to offer a lot more color choices. But for now, handle is camo. Roll bar wraps are black. The overwrap I usually make so that it matches the roll bar wrap, which is the black. And what that is, it's like 8 inches of, well, it's not 8 inches. It's like 5 feet or so of black paracord that's woven on top of the colored paracord for about 8 inches. So it's in the center of the handle so that it gives you a nice like pad for your hand to grab onto. And it gives you that two-tone look. And it's actually, I think, the deluxe handles look better than what some of the other paracord handle manufacturers are doing with their two-color. Now, again, that comes down to personal preference. Of course I like mine. I make mine. And I'm trying to sell you mine, so whatever. So that overwrap gives you like another 5 feet. So in that case, each handle has four lengths of rope, three of them that are between 10 and 12 feet, and the last one that's another 5 feet. Now, multiply that by two handles, and you've got, you know, twice as much paracord. But there's, again, solid pieces of rope. When you do the two-tone, so when you make a solid color, you basically take that one solid piece of rope, and you fold it in half, and then fold it back over itself, and then you tie the weave over top of those four center strands, and that's how you get that strap. When you do it with two colors, you take that one solid piece, and instead of having one piece that you fold in half and then back over itself, you take two pieces, one say black and the other one say green, and you, instead of having 10 feet like I use for my roll bar wrap pieces, instead of having a single 10-foot piece of paracord, you have two 5-foot pieces of paracord. And in the middle, you either tie them, or you can, like, tape them together, or you can just heat up the ends and fuse them together. And then you get sort of a solid piece of rope, but in that center piece right there where you've fused it or taped it or tied it, it's weaker than having a solid piece of rope. But then when you weave it, the center section of the paracord is, say, black, and the loops on the outer edge are green. And it gives you a different look. It gives you that two-tone look. What I don't like about that is the fact that you've now cut down the length of solid rope that you have. And that's why I make my handles the way that I do. I feel like they're more durable this way. I feel like if you were to unravel them in an emergency situation, you'd have more useful rope than if you have, you know, these two-tone ropes. Now, I don't want to run down anybody else that makes paracord handles. I'm sure that they're perfectly good quality and they like what they build. I personally think that it gives you a less useful handle in an emergency situation. Now, the chances that you're going to need it in an emergency situation may be slim. That depends on you. Depends on what you do. It depends on how often you're away from a civilization, how often you're doing whatever, camping or, you know, anything that that you wouldn't be able to just, you know, run to the store and buy rope when you need it, or call for help, or whatever. Personally, I was a Boy Scout, like I mentioned. I like to be prepared, and being prepared doesn't mean you do it in a way that could compromise the usefulness of whatever you've brought along to be prepared. And in this case, I like to have the most usable rope possible and not have to worry about the strength of my paracord or the length, you know, after I've tied all these pieces together because I've done the two-tone style. Another thing that is different between my handles and a lot of the others on the market is, obviously you need some way to fasten first of all, the handle to the roll bar wraps, and then, of course, the roll bar wraps to themselves so that they can wrap around the roll bar. Some people use, you know, slide clips. Some people use metal shackles. I personally use metal shackles for the strap that goes around the roll bar. The big difference, and I don't know if this is just because people think it's easier or because they haven't thought ahead the way I did, they'll take that shackle and they'll take all three ends that you have available to you, you know, after you've wrapped it around the bar and then you have your handle. They'll take that shackle and the handle will simply loop onto the shackle. And then when you screw the shackle closed, that's how your handle is held onto the roll bar. Personally, that works. And in a case where you're trying to disassemble it or remove it to deploy it or whatever, maybe that makes it a little easier. I think it lacks the finish that a well-made handle should have. And the way I make mine is, instead of using the shackle to hold the handle on, I weave the handle into the strap that goes around the roll bar. I think it looks better. I think it's a little more durable. I think it looks more finished. It doesn't look like I've just taken three stretches of paracord, woven them into straps, and just found any old way possible to get them onto my roll cage. Again, this is personal preference. I like the way it looks. I think it's better. I've heard from others that they like the way mine look. You know, whatever. Again, it depends on what you like and what you feel is best for you. So the next big thing would be, what might paracord come in handy for a Jeeper, or at least for an off-roader? As I've said before, I've been off-roading for many years. I've had very few major trail breakages. I've been involved in quite a few, and I've seen some pretty creative fixes on the trails. Had I had paracord at my disposal for some of those, things may have went a little differently. I can say that some of the interesting uses I've seen or heard of for paracord include things like using it to replace your fan belt on your motor. So you break your fan belt. Obviously, that means you need to do something to power your engine accessories. Otherwise, you know, you won't have power steering or an alternator or, you know, anything. Even like your onboard air, if you're using a rotary-driven compressor. So you'll want to replace that fan belt. So you can just carry a fan belt, and that's great. I mean, that's I did that for a long time. I had an extra fan belt in my my center console. But you can also, from what I hear anyway, I haven't tried this, but I've read that you can take a stretch of paracord, a length of paracord, and you can tie knots in it every few inches, and then you can weave it around, you know, your belt where your fan belt would have gone, and then of course tie it fast so that it makes a loop. And that should be enough to power your engine accessories to get you home, or at least off the trail, so that you can get to an auto store and buy a real fan belt. I think that's an awesome fix. A few other things you could, I mean, it's rope, so you can use rope to do lots of things in an emergency situation. You could tie a tourniquet. You could splint your arm or your leg or something. You could use it to hang things, you know, like that bear bag I was describing. If I had actual paracord to use, it would have worked a heck of a lot better, I think, than that low-quality stuff that dropped our food from 20 feet up. You could use it to make a pair of suspenders or shoelaces. You could... Well, I mean, you could tie just about anything. You could sew a piece of clothing with the inner cores, like I talked about. You could tie, you know, stitch yourself up if you needed to. You could use it as a clothesline. I've done that. You can use it as a clothesline at camp. We were camping it was actually just this past May we were camping, and we didn't have anything to hang our towels up after taking showers and whatnot. So I took a piece of paracord that I had woven up on my, that I just keep strapped in my backpack, and I hung it between a couple of trees, and there we go, clothesline. You could use it to fix your soft top. You know, say your soft top needs to be held up by something. You could use the paracord to lash things together. You could use it to build a shelter. You could even, I mean, the stuff, it doesn't burn really well, but I would think the inner cores could be even used as kindling to start a fire. The outer core is a little too tough for that, and it makes a lot of smoke, but it does burn. The inner core burns as well. I've seen a lot of people who will take flint and steel and twine and weave it inside of a paracord weave, and then, you know, you've got yourself a little survival grenade or whatever to keep with you. You can also make a lot of things out of paracord, especially if you know how to do the weave that I've done for the handles. I've made a flashlight holder. My mag light is held on my roll cage by a piece of paracord that I wove into a flashlight holder. I made a little holder for some Germex, you know, the hand sanitizer that hangs on my backpack. You know, just some uses. Another thing I've used paracord for, I don't know about you, but I hunt. And when I'm hunting, I sometimes hunt out of a tree stand. So when you're up in a tree stand, there's a few things that rope comes in handy for. One would be to secure yourself to the tree so that if you were to, you know, fall out of the tree for some reason, you've got something to hold you up. And the other is to pull your pack and your weapon, you know, your rifle or your bow or whatever, from the ground up to you. In one situation, I had forgotten the rope that I usually use for such things at home, and I just took one of my pieces of paracord that I keep with me when I'm hunting, and I just unraveled it, and I used that, and ta-da, You could use it to drag a deer. You know, there's no reason you couldn't do that with it. So the uses for paracord are pretty limitless. Just anywhere that you might use rope, you can use paracord, and there you go. You might save the day. It could save your life for all you know. So those are all awesome things that you might do. So I think that's about it for tonight's episode. Thank you guys for listening, and I'm glad that you've come to join me. If you haven't already, you can listen to episodes 0 and 1 and learn a little more about me and SWB Crawler and how it got its name and whatnot. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening.